Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Lummy here with the sports show with Babyface. We are back from our suspension.
Your suspension that I had to serve as well.
My suspension. It's a team effort here, yeah. Everybody that we know. We love everybody, and Brian loves me. I love him.
Well, when your holder gets your place kicker suspended, that's what you are. You're my holder.
Oh, so you're the place. Okay. All right. Are you the place kicker from Carolina this weekend?
No, I'm better than him.
Or are you the guy that filled in for him this time?
Yeah, both.
Well, we're back. A lot of things have happened. A lot of COVID news. A lot of games getting messed up. Fantasy football's just
completely
gone.
Fucked.
You looked at our picks from 2 weeks ago. You did actually really well.
Yeah, I did. I reviewed our picks from the week of Thursday the 9th through the 13th. I went 12-2, and you went a respectable 9-5, but got destroyed by me by 3 picks.
Yeah, and I think this week would have, well, you know, our week that I got us suspended and you off the golden mic.
Well, then you should lose
there.
Every single one, and I win them all.
Yes,
that's the way
do.
That works.
But I definitely think you would have had a lot of problems, and I would have had a lot of problems, especially with the COVID thing, games getting moved around. The Browns, I don't even think it mattered that they delayed the game. Didn't most all the players that were
they
didn't get to play anyhow?
They were without Landry, without both their starting, well, first and second string quarterbacks. They were without Hunt, but that was because he was injured. They weren't going to have him anyways. They put together a respectable game plan. They just, you know, you got to make a first down there when you get that interception at the end. You can't go 3 and out. They should have run a bootleg. Everybody knew Chubb was going to run on that play, and so they should have bootlegged it out and just pulled one of the tight ends out so that the quarterback could either keep it or Mullins was it or whatever his name was could either keep it or dump it off to the tight end, and that game would have been over. But instead they went with the most obvious run play that they possibly could go with, and the Raiders stuffed it. And as is the case in the NFL, you know, you give a quarterback 2 minutes and no timeouts, they'll get into field goal range.
They didn't have their quarterback or their coach, correct? The Browns? I know they didn't have their quarterbacks.
Yeah. I don't think they had much of anything.
813-90-BUBBA. 813-90-BUBBA. I know a lot of people have been talking to me asking when we're going to do the show, because they definitely were angry from your last time we were on, Brian, with the jersey thing to the different cities. I've had people still talking to me about it. being angry. But now going back to the Raiders-Browns game, because that was the most recent one, obviously the Vikings-Bears, but the Raiders-Browns, what does that have to say about your Raiders? That the Browns, and honest Dusty Dapp with 243, and honest Moose Knuckle 1,000 bits.
The Raiders were technically without their coach, and without their top wide receiver, and without their top cornerback, and without their top running back, and they still managed to win that game. So we can talk about it all you want. The bottom line is the Raiders went on the road in a tough spot and won a game, regardless of who's the quarterback on the other side. The Browns still had Nick Chubb. They still had their receivers. They weren't as decimated as they made it seem. Now, granted, both teams had players out. It's just shitty. It's a sucky time right now. It couldn't have happened at a worse time from a fantasy football perspective this COVID blow up. And it's decimating everything. The biggest fucking losers this week were the Bucks, who not only lost the game, but lost a shot at home field throughout the playoffs, and then also lost their stud starting wide receiver. I think the Buccaneers' chances of winning the Super Bowl probably decreased 70% this weekend.
Now, they said he's out for the regular season.
No, he tore his ACL. He's done. He's not. But what are you talking about?
Dr. Dan said that there's a chance that he's only going to be out for the regular season. That's what Dr. Dan said yesterday on the show.
I think Dr. Dan, if he knew that it was a torn ACL, would not be saying that. Well, he must be going off of the initial diagnosis of an MCL sprain, which is, I heard, the report I got was torn ACL.
And that's the same report I got, and I said that he has a torn ACL. He said it's an MCL, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's correct that if it was just a sprained MCL, he could, depending on the degree of sprain, have been back in 3 to 4 weeks, at the earliest on the timetable there. But with a torn ACL, he needs surgery, and he's not going to be running again for 4 or 5 months.
Hinstar with 1,000 bits. Thank you. Yeah, the Bucks. Now, did you watch that game?
What's the Bucks game?
Yeah,
as much of it as I could tolerate.
Did you not? Yeah. Well, I'm saying the first half before Godwin got hurt. Did it seem like the only people they were going to was Chris Godwin and Fournette? That I think they threw to Mike Evans one time.
Well, they threw to him one time and he got destroyed because Brady threw a Jameis Winston classic high ball, jump ball that Evans comes down on, and then he's out the rest of the game. It's been his career. He gets fucking destroyed across the middle on those passes.
Now, do you think that it has anything to do with the Saints maybe taking a couple cheap shots? They're still kind of angry from the last game with Jameis, getting hurt.
I don't know that there were any cheap shots.
They said it was kind of low on Godwin.
But that's the way they have to go in the NFL now. You got a guy coming across the middle. You can't go up high when he's turning. You have to go low on him. To me, it's dirty. You should shoot for the hips. And take him down at the hips. You don't need to clip out his knees. And the NFL does need to change that rule. You look around the league at all these wide receivers that are getting taken out on a weekly basis. It's a mash unit, and it's bad for the product.
There's a lot of injuries, a lot of head injuries this week.
A ridiculous amount of injuries, head, shoulders, knees, and toes, man. It's everything. It's literally everything. And it's hurting the NFL as a whole. Because it's a star league, and they've done everything they can, and effectively so, to protect the quarterbacks. I mean, other than Jameis and Fitzpatrick, for the most part, the starting quarterbacks, I guess Darnold got dinged up and Mayfield, but for the most part, starting quarterbacks have been fine in the NFL this season.
You got the New York Daniel Jones, too.
Yeah, but like I said, actual starting quarterbacks, not replacement-level fucksticks like Daniel Jones, who should have never been drafted in the first place.
Oh, what's his name from the Ravens, too?
Oh, yeah. Lamar. Well, Huntley, which I want to talk Huntley about looks better than him anyway.
Well, I was going to say, and we did have Little Purple, who's obviously a big Ravens fan, and I was going to actually have it written down here, Huntley. Now, he looks like a guy that they totally miss-scouted coming out of college. He looks, I mean, what do you know what round he was picked in?
Oh, the fourth, I think?
Was it the fourth?
Or Huntley?
I know he was kind of low, and he wasn't one of those top quarterbacks coming out in the draft. For a rookie quarterback kind of sitting behind, he's dropping some dimes in there. I watched that game. He looked really good.
Oh, he
really
was undrafted.
Good. Was he
got
undrafted?
Signed undrafted free agent, yeah.
From Utah?
Yep.
Hold on here. Let's see here. Let's see if we can go to the Ravens fan himself. Little Purple?
What's happening? How are you guys?
You're going to get 3 minutes today, buddy, because people can only take much Ravens talk because it's a depressing organization. Yeah. It's a depressing team. It's a depressing time to be a Ravens fan.
But at least they were smart enough to pick Huntley up.
Well, perfect compliment to Lamar in terms of if you're going to have a backup, you want one that can run your regular offense.
Yeah.
And so with somebody unique like Lamar, having Huntley is a great addition.
Can I talk about something other than the Ravens first, though?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So with the Godwin injury, I heard people talking about, do you think that receivers would rather have the refs call those low hits against them as penalties as a defenseless receiver rather than the shots to the head?
Well, I think the announcers said it.
Yeah, the announcers did say it.
They'd rather have a concussion than a blown knee, yeah.
Because that's pretty much almost the end of their career compared to a head injury they can come back.
Well, Godwin had the franchise tag slapped on him, so he was a free agent. He was set to get paid real money this offseason, and now there's question marks surrounding him, right? This hurts his value so tremendously. Hopefully he had good leadership, good agency, and had a nice fat Lloyd's of London policy to protect against something like this and hurting his value. But the receivers would definitely rather take a shot to the head. Here's the thing. They don't have to take a shot to either. That corner absolutely could have gone to Godwin's hips, wrapped him up, and taken him down.
Oh, 100%.
They make a choice in this league to go low like that, and it's not the right thing to do.
He had enough time.
It wasn't one of those things where he clipped his legs and that was his only chance of getting him. He had him lined up for that shot. He was ready for it.
He launched into his
lower body below the knee, and that's fucked up. And it's just by the definition, it's a clean hit. But the reality is it's a dirty hit.
Yeah, because if you think about it, he lined up, he launched into it. Realistically, now the big excuse is, he didn't hit him in the head at least. You know, he's from the chest down, so everything's okay. But realistically, that guy knew what he was doing. He wanted to tweak the knee a little bit. Maybe he didn't want to blow the ACL out. But maybe he wanted to put, Godwin, because Godwin, I think at that point, had like 6 or 7 catches.
Oh, he was lighting them up.
Yeah.
He lights up everybody. He's probably right now the second best wide receiver in the league behind Cooper Kupp. I mean, from a route running, a blocking standpoint, a hustle standpoint, a catching standpoint, a catch radius standpoint, speed standpoint, I don't think other than Kupp, if Kupp's number one, then Godwin's number two in this league.
I agree with
that. Well, that's like the Packers. I think it was their linebacker just took a dive at Nick Boyle's knee Sunday night, and Nick Boyle just came off of a season-ending knee injury last year. And luckily they called the flag on that. I forget what the call was, but, you can't be diving at players' knees. Like, that's their career.
And the NFLPA could get involved with this and make it, a more of an emphasis if they really wanted to, and I think you will see it in the offseason. This is just... Like you said, these are career-ending injuries. Yes, the concussions are long-term, and we've seen the long-term effects of those with the CTE and everything like that. But
a knee injury could be also
from a short. Well, it's not going to cause CTE, but it could cause depression in a player who was going to make $100 million and now is not going to make that in his career.
No, but I'm saying it could always change. The way he cuts and the way he does.
Oh
next
no,
year.
It's career changing.
Yeah.
A CTE is a life-changing injury standpoint, but.
Yeah.
But we've cracked, the league's cracked down on that, but they haven't cracked down on the low blocks and the low tackles. I mean, they have from a blocking perspective. Now you can't go low.
No, you can't cut block.
You can't cut block
outside the tackle box either.
Which is really it's funny to me that more teams haven't switched to larger, bulkier tight ends to block, in the run block game, because there's no way a cornerback on an edge is going to stop a tight end one-on-one if he can't cut block him. And so, I think that the rules changing will change the way the game is played a little bit, but something's got to be done. Something's got to be done. You can't have guys like Godwin taking knee shots like that. And I know it's legal, but it's still bullshit.
It's still bullshit.
For sure. And, going to the Lamar and Huntley thing, back to the Ravens, Huntley played his ass off. I was at the game, and it was wild to watch. I think we win that game if we had Lamar. I know he hasn't been playing well, but...
I don't know, man.
I don't know that Huntley did anything to cost you guys that game at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
No, he definitely did not. You're right about that.
So I don't know. I think that, you know, the Packers find a way and Rodgers finds a way typically. I just think that Harbaugh needs to rethink his fucking coaching. I mean, he's a terrible, terrible end of game situational coach. You have all the momentum in the world. You've come back. You're at home and you go for two there. Have some fucking faith.
The players told him they wanted to go for two.
Yeah, but doesn't that
matter? So you're such a good coach. You're asking the players, hey, guys, what should we do here?
No, fuck that.
How about you be the coach and you coach up the team and you make the right calls and right decisions? 2 unanswered touchdowns at the end of the game against the number one team in football from a winning percentage standpoint. And you're not going to, you know, you've got your quarterbacks lighting it up.
I understand you're playing Aaron Rodgers and the number one team, the Packers, but you don't listen to players. You go, let's go to overtime. Yeah, but let's go to overtime. Defense, I believe in you guys. You're going to stop. If we don't get the ball first, defense, I believe in you. You guys are going to stop. We're going to get the ball. Huntley's going to get it. We're going to win this game. Let's get some more playing time. Let's not rely on one play to win the game. Let's rely on your guys' talent in defense and your guys' talent on offense, and let's go win the game.
The last two drives, the Packers totaled 9 yards and got a field goal.
Their defense was stepping up.
That was after a turnover on downs by the Ravens. So you think about the situation that the Ravens defense were put into in those last two drives needing those stops, and they got them. I think you extend that game as long as you can. If you're the road team and a dog, I get going for two. It's not, you know, not a bad decision, especially if you've lost momentum and you had to come back to try and score at the end to get it. But this was a team that was down. They were done and they came back. They clawed their way back in. You reward your defense with another chance to go out there and stop Aaron Rodgers.
And they're at home.
Yeah, I mean, there's every reason to go into overtime on that one and not go for two. And I'm about playing to win the game, but not in you put it down to essentially a coin flip, less than a coin flip, because if you look at the conversion percentage from you know, fourth and two from inside the goal line there, it's so much harder to convert than when you're converting, you know, fourth and two from the 40 and everything's on the table. You know, you've only got 12 yards of real estate to defend there.
We will agree to disagree.
Well, and you will agree to miss the playoffs is what you're going to end up doing, agreeing to here, is your team's going to miss the playoffs and stay home. And they're not going to get a good draft pick out of it. So whether it's 15th or 17th, it really doesn't matter.
Nope.
It sucks. It sucks. You have a shitty coach who's cost you two games now. You guys could be 10-4 and talking about home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And instead, you're 8-6 and talking about, will we even make the playoffs?
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
little.
Wrong. Okay. I'll see you guys.
See you, little.
Huh?
I said thank you, little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two people in chat want to know. One, Trevor Lawrence, you think he's a bust? I know he's with the Jaguars.
You got to give him more time because he had the fucking worst head coach in the history of terrible head coaches.
Which we didn't even get
him.
To talk about your boy.
I know.
I mean, that we missed that whole thing. I mean, do you think Urban Meyer's your boy? Before we get back on the Jags and Trevor Lawrence, do you think he sits out a year, jumps in college somewhere?
Or
do you think
him. I think he needs to just go away and save us all the trouble of having to see his smug, arrogant, cocky, worthless piece of shit face ever again. If I never hear his name again, I'll be happy. He's a fucking scumbag.
Yeah, but okay. But
kicking players. What a piece of shit. He is the biggest piece of fucking, I didn't realize they could stack feces that high.
Okay, but let's put your kind of real hate aside from Urban Meyer.
My hate is, well, it's warranted. I saw through his bullshit from the beginning.
No, and I agree. But do you think there's going to be a team, a college, his ego is so big, he's not going to be able to sit at home with his wife that obviously he's unhappy
with. No, he's not
going to
sit at home with his wife. He's going to go fuck around at bars like he does and fuck around with co-eds like he's been accused of doing.
But the co-eds are not going to know who he is anymore.
I mean, they still know the guy has money. He's not like he immediately goes out and becomes irrelevant. He's irrelevant in the football world. He could be a college coach where he's obviously a giant piece of shit taskmaster who treats everybody around him like trash, and that was a good formula for him, I guess. And he's a lucky motherfucker.
I think he bounces back at like a lower.
He's not
division.
Going to a lower. He's not going.
No,
lower
I'm talking
anything.
About like a Pac-12.
I think
he goes out to California and coaches. I don't think he's going to go to like the MAC or anything like that. I think he's going to go over maybe to California, like maybe, you know, Cal, one of those teams that just, they need a, like a big time coach. Cause they think they're big. Every Pac-12 team thinks they're big time programs. You don't see that happening.
Whatever. I don't care. I know, prefer not to see his face again. I was 100% right about him. And the way this project in Jacksonville, this experiment was going to go, I called it from the beginning.
I think I said
I may have even said I don't think he gets through one season. I'm not certain on that.
You did. Yeah. And I said I think he gets through one season and they fire him after the season, because I said that they would look, they'd be embarrassed if they didn't make it at least through that.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see here. I think 704.
Hey, what's up, guys? Ten Star. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Star.
So part of radio is a good segue. So if we can take never seeing their face again with purple jersey and the 2 points, could we talk about the Panthers? Because we had to do nothing but 2 points, and I don't care if I ever see Cam Newton's face again.
Well, first off, the Panthers completely shit the bed this weekend. Cam Newton, he hasn't won a game as a starter in, what, the 12, 13 games? I mean, I'm happy because I think Cam Newton's a complete douchebag. Like, Brian thinks Urban Meyer's a douchebag. I mean, him coming out, you know, saying, I'm back, you know, and yeah, he beat the Cardinals. I mean, the Lions beat the Cardinals, but that's, you know, besides the point, the Cardinals are a good team.
Exactly.
But Cam Newton is a shell of himself. He's been a shell of himself since, you know, for the last 6-7 years. I don't know if Brian agrees with me on that one. The Cardinals were... Yeah, when he came back, they didn't really know how to deal with that game plan. But since everyone can watch film, they know what Cam Newton can do, and the only thing he can do is run up the middle. That's it. I think that the Panthers should get rid of him as fast as possible. Sam Darnold comes back, and they need to get a different quarterback next year.
And from what I think, from what I'm thinking and what I read, I think Cam is actually coming back next season. I thought we gave him a 2-year, $10 million deal. I thought it was guaranteed.
If you did, then your owner is a moron. Because, well, I know he's the richest owner in the NFL, and he likes to spend money, but you can't just start throwing money like that.
He should stick to hedge funds, not football.
I mean, Brian, what do you think of Cam Newton? Please don't tell me you like him.
No, I mean, I think it was a mistake. He only signed a 1-year deal to come back.
Okay.
Yeah, $10 million. I think
$10 million.
Yeah, it was $4.5 million fully guaranteed, $1.5 million roster bonus, and then some other stuff in there.
$400,000 if we go to the Super Bowl, baby.
He's not getting that one, at least.
Oh, I know. Unfortunate, right?
But I mean, Brian. I mean, the Panthers. Do you still try to get rid of your paper tiger running back? Maybe try to go and get a Deshaun Watson.
You got to rebuild. If you can't get Deshaun, you've got to rebuild. Who's their coach? Rule still?
Yeah.
He needs to go too. I'm sorry, he's been very underwhelming. I know you said give him time, and he hasn't had players, but
I mean he hasn't.
They look like
and
they've given up.
He's
on
got
him.
You know right. They're not his guys in there, and I don't even know how much influence he had on the Darnold decision, but they had no quarterback coming in.
How much decision do you think get on Cam Newton?
Probably very little to none. He was probably told Cam's coming back, and that's that. And it was a good move to sell tickets and whatnot, but and save a season that was clearly going into the shitter. I don't know what the answer is for them. I think they need a full-scale rebuild. McCaffrey is not going to be himself ever again. And, you know, you've got an aging DJ Moore who's only going to have a few more seasons in him and they're not going to be good in the next 2 or 3 years. So I think if you're going to make the move, if you're the owner, if you get Deshaun, then you can still build around that and make a stand now. But otherwise, you've got to do a full-scale rebuild, bring in a GM and a new head coach, and let them build this roster from the bottom up and make it their roster. Because right now you're dealing with a patchwork across two different coaching staffs, and it's not going to work.
Well, do you think this owner, I don't know if Instar or Brian, you know, is this owner almost like a Jerry Jones? Yeah. I know he's got a lot of money, throws a lot of money, says he can buy whoever he wants pretty much.
He wants to win. And I've been around him a few times. I don't want to get into all that. He wants to win. He'll do anything to win. He's a very, very personable person. I can see him being a Jerry Jones type, but I think right now he was more focused on just the team trying to make the playoffs.
Wow.
And now it's kind of gone sideways, but now we got the soccer team coming, expansion on some other things within the Charlotte area, and I think that's more of his focus as of now than the football team. Wow. If that makes any sense.
I mean, then the Carolina's going to struggle, and he better bring in a good GM and let him just rebuild, like Brian said. Because
if you can get Deshaun, you can still salvage some stuff. Because if you have Watson, you're not going to lean on McCaffrey as heavily as you've had to. And so, you know, if he can come back, then you can squeeze the last year or two of goodness out of him. But at some point, you've got to either. You can't be stuck in this, you know, 6-10, 8-8 space. It's the worst space to be in the NFL. You either want to be fucking trash or you want to be great. The worst season you can have is 8-8.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. Well,
do you think the Lions are pissed that they won? If I was a Lions fan, I'd be like, no, we want to lose.
No, I think the Lions are so fed up.
No, well,
I think the Lions fans and everyone are so happy that they won. That I think they're over just always having the top three pick.
Well, you have Jared Goff playing for his NFL career right now. I mean, he's got one more year under his contract. He's not out there. You know, there were times this season where he looked like he was out there just to get the fuck off the field. But I think this is what happens with teams like Detroit later in the season. They're not a terrible team. They needed some time to come together. They had, you know, parts and pieces. They've had some injury issues. They have talent on that roster. They've got a quarterback who can be serviceable. Jared Goff's never going to be, you know, an 11-5 quarterback, 11-6 quarterback with Detroit, but he could get them to 7-8, 7-10.
You know, it reminds me kind of not like a playing status, but like what he could do, like you said, like almost like an Alex Smith. You know, you have an Alex Smith in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's like a Kirk Cousins type quarterback, right?
You have him right there. The team's ready to go, and then you get a different quarterback that's going to take him that next step, like that next jump to the playoffs and Super Bowl, maybe.
And two more things before I get off, because I'm battling strep throat and this shit sucks. One, I'm going to call it right now. You guys might disagree with me, but the Panthers are going to go 2-0 against the Bucks. I'm excited for this.
Okay,
I'm going to call when I call in next sports show. I'm going to be peacocking. Just letting you know
they may win one. They may split, but that would be as good as you can hope for.
That's about it.
Well,
I mean, they'll have Brown
there for the
They'll
night.
Have Brown back. I mean, you know, the Bucks aren't going to look at Brady's career. How many times has he lost then, 3 out of 4 in his career?
I don't think ever.
Well, I mean, that's true too. And
right. But,
I hold hope because New Orleans he's Ofer versus New Orleans.
Well, you're not New Orleans. I mean, are the Saints and are they going to come to Carolina and play the game for you? Because that's the only team that can stop him.
Yeah.
I mean, in the regular season,
I'm
too, mind
they
you.
Have a holiday hangover.
Yeah.
COVID,
yeah,
no.
That's strep throat. You're running a fever, buddy.
Yeah.
2-0.
And then the last one is, when you talk about Deshaun Watson, do you think it's criminal that he hasn't played this season given everything else that's gone on? And I'm surprised that the players' union, or maybe he hasn't sued his own players' union because he hasn't played due to this, given the investigation and how they're looking into these women and their false accusations and blackmail.
Well, I think there's
show,
yeah, that's a good question. I think there's a lot to unwrap with the Deshaun Watson situation because these are just allegations. They let Antonio Brown play when he had the civil lawsuit against him in with the masseuse down in Miami or whatever it was. I understand that there's a lot of allegations against Deshaun. But there's nothing criminal.
It's not the league.
There's nothing criminal.
It's the Texans,
right? And so you know they can make the choice not to play him. Are they paying him? As long as he's getting paid, I don't think Deshaun Watson would really care. I wouldn't want to be a quarterback for the Houston Texans this year.
I'm pretty sure he's getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, if he's getting paid his money, if I'm him, I'm thrilled with this because you're buying me extra time in my career. It's a year that I don't have to take unnecessary beat down for a team that was straight trash and an owner that I hate. He's winning this battle if that is the case. If he's getting paid his full deal and the team's just deciding to inactive him, then that's great for Deshaun. That's great for him. And if he can get all this situation cleared up and it passes over, then he'll find himself in a better situation where he can go and try and, you know, cement his legacy and not for being a creep that likes to jerk off in front of masseuses.
Okay. Yeah, you move on. 813-90-BUBBA. Dolphins. Got a couple people in chat. Dante 9 wanted to know the Dolphins. Is this the time that you kind of start saying, you know, even Tua doesn't put up the big time stats that you say, hey, we're not going to shop Tua next year?
No, you still
six
have
six in a row.
Six. Okay. The Texans, the Ravens, the Jets. The
Ravens?
Hold on. That's the one outlier. The Jets, the Panthers, the Giants, the Jets. Tell me which team they shouldn't have beaten in there. The Ravens, right? That's it. Other than that, they should have won every single one of the games that they've won so far. And they had to battle back against the fucking Jets this week at home. So I don't want to hear it. Tua's mediocre. He's going to be a game manager type of quarterback in his career, and that's fine. If Miami's defense is truly at the elite level, then they can make the playoffs with a quarterback like Tua. They might even win a playoff game with a quarterback like Tua, but you're not winning a Super Bowl with Tua as your quarterback.
So you think they're like one of those teams that they need to go hard for Watson? Like they got the other pieces kind of put in place. I don't think Waddle played this weekend, and they still
Parker
obviously
was
won.
Back.
Parker was
I mean,
back. Yeah,
everybody has a starter on a key starter on offense missing right now. No team is 100% healthy. No team. So I don't want to hear excuses about a wide receiver's out this and that. That's the way of the league now. So if you can't win missing a contributor on offense when you get one back, then you're not a winner. We'll see how they finish out. They finish out against the Saints, who have a very formidable defense, at the Titans and versus the Patriots. If they win two out of three of those, then maybe Tua will, is a legitimate quarterback. But I don't see it happening.
Do you think he's just a serviceable quarterback?
I mean, do you want a stopgap quarterback in the NFL? You would rather either suck or be good. And the problem for the Dolphins is they've got weapons around him right now. They can be in a win now scenario if they had a championship caliber quarterback. I mean, if you put Deshaun Watson in the last three seasons onto the Miami Dolphins.
The Dolphins are winning. They're leading the AFC East.
They're probably leading the AFC. I mean, with the schedule they got to play, now they would probably, they would have beaten the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
They would have beaten the Jaguars.
They would have split with the Bills, probably.
They would have probably split with the Bills. So that's three wins right there. All of a sudden, they're 10-4 instead of 7-7, and they're in the lead in the AFC.
641, call back. Now, when you're looking at the AFC East, Buffalo, are you surprised that they're 8-6 right now?
No, hold on real quick. Bubba lost everything. Not every team with a championship caliber quarterback can win it all. You have to have a fucking defense too, you dolt. You can't. Just because you have a championship caliber.
Too.
Yeah. You have to have the weapons around you. Deshaun Watson was never. He is a champion, a Super Bowl caliber winning quarterback, but he was never going to do that in Houston ever. Ever. Because they didn't have the weapons around him. They don't have the leadership around him. But when you're a team like the Dolphins and you have a young, successful defense and you have young weapons on offense, the only question mark for them right now is at running back, which they can address in the offseason. You're in a win now situation. You don't need a total rebuild from the ground up. Look at the teams around the league that have nothing: the Jets, the Jaguars, Houston. I mean, those are teams that it doesn't matter if you get a championship caliber quarterback in there. It doesn't matter who you have as your quarterback. You're going to lose more than you win every single time. But you have a team that's set to win, that has the pieces and the parts that are essential to make a run into the playoffs, and now you've got yourself a quarterback that can do it for you. Tua's not that guy. No. So the Dolphins, even if they were to sneak into the playoffs, which is still a long shot for them, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to win a single game in the playoffs with Tua, because the playoff football is different.
641.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brandon the Quad.
What's up, Brandon?
Oh, no, not much. Just I'm glad you guys snuck on here because I didn't even know there was going to be a show this morning. But I have a question about Watson. Do you think if Aaron Rodgers doesn't stay with the Packers, do you think the Packers would pick him up?
Ooh, I don't think he'd want to go to the Packers.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to stick with the Packers, though. I mean, if they make it to the Super Bowl again, he's not going to leave that team. First of all, they've got to trade him if they're going to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be through a trade. And they've still got a you know, a chance. They still got a window for winning. So they'll make it work in Green Bay. They'll figure it out. I don't think that move happens.
No.
Tom Brady treatment and let him pick the team.
What now?
Yeah, he's saying he think Aaron Rodgers gets that Tom Brady, lets him kind of like, you know, with the draft and different things like that, kind of, and free agency.
I think it's already started, and yeah. I think it'll continue. It doesn't look like his choices have really paid off. I mean, Randall Cobb is mediocre at best, but at this stage in his career, but that's who
he liked. It's who he wanted.
He wanted him there. The stats. Even with the injuries that they had on offense and some guys missing games that haven't quite been there for him, but whatever, you know.
But it's the whole thing is that they're winning the game. They're winning games, though. Whoever you have, like you said, you know, they're winning the game. So maybe Randall Cobb's doing something outside of what you're seeing on the stats.
What is Randall Cobb doing outside?
I don't
of his
know.
Stats?
You know what I mean? I don't see it. You don't see it. The stats don't see it. Maybe the coaches see it. I don't know. Maybe he's. Doing something to the cornerback while they're out there. Who knows?
I mean,
there's not much. I don't know, but they're winning games. So Randall Cobb goes out there.
He's averaging like two catches a game.
Yeah.
And averaging about 30.
Maybe he's
yards.
A good locker room player. Maybe he brings donuts and coffee in the morning.
Maybe just his presence on the field makes Rodgers feel better about life.
Yeah. Maybe, he gives him a little tap on the ass, when they come out of the huddle and say, hey, man, you're doing great today.
Yeah.
Maybe that's enough.
Do you think he'll bring Jordy Nelson out of retirement?
Jordy Nelson is like horse wrangling up in Montana or Kansas. I don't think he's coming out. He's raising horses in Kansas.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I mean, look, Rodgers is still a great quarterback. He's shown that this year. He can spread the ball out more than any other quarterback in the league at this point. He doesn't have to have, he's got his number one, but then everybody else is a number two on that team. It's crazy. He makes these guys look better than they are. He's going to be there another year, though. There's no way he goes anywhere else.
Their running back game, though, is pretty strong right now.
I mean, it's great.
If Jones can come back full strength, I think they're kind of limping him along. But
you don't even need him. You got Dylan.
I know Dylan.
I mean, they're 1-2, man. It's a hell of a 1-2 punch. Now, I would say I believe that Jones is a better receiving back than Dylan. But still, you've got that 1-2 punch at running back that really all the great teams have these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon. Well, go jack off to that, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
See you soon.
Have a great holiday, and I'll see you in 3 weeks.
You too, man. Have fun banging.
Are you coming to the?
I'm out of town MLK weekend. I was able to come last year because of COVID canceling, my travel plans. But
you go into
we go up north to visit my wife's family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we go MLK weekend because it's way easier, and it's nice because it kind of extends the season by 2 weeks. So, it's not New Year's, you get back to work and then you got nothing to look forward to and for months. It's gives you another thing to do.
Now, going back Saturday, the Colts beating the Patriots, do you think the Colts are serious? I mean, obviously Jonathan Taylor, and I don't know how you feel. I was going to ask you who you think at this point in time is up for maybe the top three and MVP, but obviously you got to look at Jonathan Taylor. The Colts, are they looking like a team? They kind of turned it around that could make the playoffs. A lot of people said that maybe the Patriots didn't want to show their offensive hand. A lot of people said that about the Cowboys too. Do you think Bill Belichick would really do that and not, kind of go out there and maybe run all his offensive plays just so if they have to face the Colts again in the playoffs that they don't see their whole scheme?
I don't think Belichick was. I don't think Belichick was holding back in that game. I think he's doing what he's been doing for the last 7 weeks, 8 weeks with Mac Jones, which is Jones threw 45 passes in that game. What was he holding back? What?
I don't.
We're not going to run the game. No. Yeah. The Indianapolis jumped out.
And Indianapolis has a good defense. They had a good defense last year. They do have a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, no, they've got a good defense. Wentz is a game manager, man. I mean, you talk about another one of those quarterbacks. I don't think they can win
five passes.
I don't think they can win a Super Bowl with him, but they can definitely win a playoff game with him, with Jonathan Taylor in the background. In the backfield, I think most teams in the NFL that have the defense that the Colts do, and Jonathan Taylor, you could put any quarterback back there, and they would have a chance to win a playoff game. He is having that type of season. I mean, he's something special. He was always a workhorse at Wisconsin, so that's the question about him, right? How many carries does he have left in him? Because they're using and abusing him this year, and he was carrying at one point, I think, 40 times a game for Wisconsin. I mean, it was ridiculous the amount of carries that he would get there in college. And so my only fear for him is if you truly believe that these running backs have expiration dates based on how many carries they get, he's got to be coming smack up against his. But, I mean, he's running, when you say MVP, where would the Colts be without Jonathan Taylor?
Oh, they would be maybe 3-4 wins in.
And you always say that, right? And it's easy to say that with a quarterback who's touching the ball every single time.
But
Wentz
is, like you said, a game manager.
Yeah, and so for them to even be in the playoff. Now, they also are the beneficiaries of the Tennessee Titans having the absolute worst injury luck in the NFL this season. Top two receivers pretty much done. Top running back, the stud running back in the league, out. I don't know. Obviously, they didn't play. Titans during this streak, but I don't know that Indianapolis would be sniffing the division if the Titans were able to stay healthy. Well, the Titans would have been running away with the AFC.
Yeah, before Henry injury, they lost to the Titans. Twice.
So that was before the injury. The only reason they're in it and competing for the division now is because of that injury. Or else, we wouldn't really even be having this conversation. I mean, they've lost 3 out of 4. Have the Titans with the lone win being, and they lost, to some mediocre and bad teams.
And they're saying too with the Colts, I guess it's a hard knock, 813-90-BUBBA. The Colts have shown, I guess they're always mic'd up for that Hard Knocks. I haven't seen the new Hard Knocks. I don't know if you have either.
I haven't watched it. No.
I guess they're saying that there's been times that Hilton's come up and like, don't worry about my stats. And, they're saying we need to get more run plays going because Taylor's hot. Like they're trying to say they're unselfish about their stats and they just want to give it to Taylor. But like you said, how much can Taylor handle? I mean, 29 carries doesn't really seem like a lot, but I mean, when you're taking,
it is in this NFL.
Yeah,
though.
I was going to say,
beatings. 29 carries isn't a lot in 1993 in the NFL when linebackers were slower than shit. But in 2021, when you're getting hit by fucking 260-pound freight trains on every single play, those 29 carries add up. And he's getting, when you throw in the catches, he's getting 35 touches a game? Receptions?
Yeah, he's I'm rushing. He's got 270 carries, and his receiving looks like not pulling up, but okay.
I mean, he's probably averaging 5 catches a game would be my guess, from receiving. Let's see. He's got 43 targets, 36 catches.
Yeah,
so
36
3
catches.
So 3 roughly 3 a game, 270 carries. I mean,
he's at 296 touching the ball for this season.
Yeah. I guess the good news is they weren't overusing him in the beginning part of the year.
Yeah, but I mean,
if you look at his last 5 weeks, 21, 32, 16, 32, 29. That's a lot of work. Now, physically, he can probably handle it. He's still young, his second year, so he's going to be okay. This is more like they're taking years off of his life down the line.
Do you know who I thought was going to actually play a little bit more of a role in the Colts was Marlon Mack?
Yeah, well, he suffered that knee injury.
I'm
surprised they didn't trade him, though, because they've just had him languishing on their roster. And to me, it would have made sense for them to get rid of him. Send him over to the NFC if you're worried about turning out and hurting you. Send him over, to the NFC and let him. There were a lot of teams around that time, around the trade deadline, like the Giants, who may have made a move for somebody like that when they were relying on Booker and Barkley was up in the air, and even the Panthers.
I was going to say the Panthers too. I think
Mac could be an upgrade over Chuba Hubbard. And
Chuba Hubbard. I like his name though.
Yeah, it is fun to say. Although so many people call him Chuba Hubbard.
That's what I would have said if I saw a Chuba Hubba. Hey, in chat, I want to ask from Nice Guy Nick, who would you start as your running back while he's in the playoffs, Sonny Mitchell or Rashad Penny?
Oh, I'm going with Penny right now. I would go with Penny over Sony Michel. Is his name not Sonny Mitchell?
Sonny Mitchell.
It's not Sonny Mitchell.
I call him Sonny Mitchell.
Sonny Michel. The reason being is Daryl Henderson is back, and I think that Henderson is the better back in L.A. He's more reliable.
I don't think they give him the ball enough.
Who, Henderson?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they would be running away with the NFC if they used their talent better. I know the Robert Woods injury hurt them, but when you've got, you know, Henderson is an exceptional back, and they just don't use him enough at all.
It's great. Nice guy, Nick, 200 bits. So, yeah, start Penny over Sonny Mitchell.
Sonny Michel, the only reason is he's got, you know, Penny's got less competition for carries in Seattle than Michel does in L.A. I mean, I think Henderson's definitely the better back there and is going to see more touches on the regular.
Do you agree with the Rams, though? The problem with the Henderson is that now that they signed OBJ, that they probably promised him that they'd give him a certain amount of passes during the game.
I don't know they promised him anything.
That was his big complaint.
I think he commands it. I think he'll make life hell for everybody if he's not getting it, because he's a big fucking prima donna baby, locker room cancer.
But you don't think he signed with the Rams because they were like, look, we'll kind of put you as a focus. Cup's going to be number one. He's going to get his catches, but everything after that's going to be you.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know. I think he saw that he's the number two there in terms of talent. I mean, Van Jefferson, I think, is going to eventually be a better receiver than Odell Beckham Jr. currently is. I don't know that he's there yet.
Because in his four games, he's already got targeted 25 times.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yep,
that's a lot. I mean, you're getting six targets a game. That's a healthy amount. But they're
especially a
passing offense,
and
they, you know, were throwing it. I mean, he's not getting Robert Woods' share of targets that Woods would have been receiving. So he's getting something less than Woods, but more than a number three would typically expect to get.
Yeah, but not that far off. Because if you look at Robert Woods, it's almost like a seven. About 7.5 targets a game.
So he's getting about a target and a half less than Woods was getting.
Which is not bad for being new.
Yeah, but he's getting, you know, 2.5 level receiver, you know, third level receiver targets. I mean, Van Jefferson's still getting drawn, what, four targets a game, five targets a game. And that went up once Woods went out. So you're seeing those targets split between the tight ends, Jefferson and Beckham Jr.
Now, what's your top three on MVP? Since we got Cup and we just talked about Jonathan Taylor, those are in my top three. Like, what's your top three MVPs right now?
I mean, you got to put Rodgers in there. The way he distributes the ball, I would have him ahead of Brady. Brady, that game cost him any. You can't give an MVP to a guy who gets shut out, you know, regardless of how many people were hurt in that game.
I agree. I think that pretty much just dropped Brady out of it.
Yeah.
Unless he comes back and blows up the next
If they win the rest of the games convincingly and then make a little run. But to me, it's Rodgers, Taylor, and Kupp are the three that I would go with. And truthfully, I think Taylor deserves it. You know, he's going to be a 2,000-yard back potentially.
When's the last time that happened?
Once, maybe, ever? I don't know. How many 2,000-yard backs have there been in the NFL?
I think there's been a good amount. Hasn't there? I'm just saying, when's the last time?
It's been a while. Adrian Peterson maybe had a year? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did.
There were six. Chris Johnson, Jamal Lewis, Barry Sanders, Terrell Davis, O.J. Simpson, and Eric Dickerson. That's it.
Though I guess Derrick Henry was the last one that had it.
Oh, Henry had one?
Yeah, 2020. So last year.
Oh, last year. Wow.
2027.
So that's seven. Sorry. Yeah this article was dated. This says it's a group of eight.
Because I got Eric Dickerson, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Lewis, Barry Sanders, Derrick Henry, Terrell Davis, Chris Johnson, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, AP, I guess, had one. But look, it's happened, what, twice in the past 12 years?
That's a lot.
And, you know, really going back in what I would call modern football, you know, with these linebackers changing the game three times over the last, you know, 18 years, that's a rare feat. He may or may not get there, and he will have potentially an extra game to get there. But to me, I just can't see, like, the Colts probably wouldn't be sniffing the playoffs without him.
No, they wouldn't even be close. It's the same thing as Tom Brady coming over to the Bucs.
You know, the Rams, without Kupp, I think they're still a very good team, especially if Woods didn't get injured. Obviously, Woods' injury increases Kupp's value, but I don't see a wide receiver ever being the MVP in the way that the current NFL is.
No.
It's
going to be that quarterback.
It's going to be a quarterback or a running back.
Yeah, and like even like I think if Kupp wasn't in the Rams, Henderson would kind of be almost a star. Because that guy, he can run the ball. And like you said, they should be handing the ball off to him more. And I think they're just, I mean, he's got 142 carries. I know he was hurt twice, I think.
Yeah, he's missed a couple games. I need him to go off tonight. I need to get through this first round of my fantasy playoffs here and have a shot. So I need Henderson to go off. And I need Stafford to take a little chill pill tonight, you know.
Oh,
hopefully they get out early off of two Darrell Henderson rushing touchdowns, and then you know, Seattle's playing catch up the rest of the game, and Rams can protect a big lead.
But Bob McGrath, 214 bets. Yeah, I actually clinched mine because of the injuries to the Bucs, Fournette and Godwin.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have lost because I have Kupp left, but now I'm still up like 10 points, and Kupp's going to get 18, and I'm feeling good.
Henderson's a jobber. He's give me a break. You can hate Henderson. I don't love him because he's on my fantasy team. He got thrusted into the starting role unexpectedly when Akers went down, and he's done a very good job. And all we're saying is he has been underutilized.
Yeah,
100%. On the whole by the Rams.
It's like same thing with James Robinson from the Jaguars.
Yeah,
he's been obviously we know why, because you're pile of shit that you don't like, loved Carlos Hyde, and Robinson was barely used at all during the year. And Trevor Lawrence came out, you know, and he complained about it. Going back to the Jaguars, I mean, do you even see him winning another game?
I
got the Jets, at Patriots, and at home against the Colts.
I thought their best chance to do so was going to be this week.
Yeah,
you know, that whole kind of galvanize and rally around the team as a team with the head coach being gone. But Urban Meyer left such a stench and a stank in that building that I think it's going to take the rest of the season to fumigate that place.
So obviously they're going to have to rebuild. They keep Lawrence. They should keep Robinson.
You got Etienne coming back, the running back that you drafted and blew out his knee to start. You know, he's coming. The Clemson guy's coming back with Lawrence. That will immediately give Lawrence more confidence and comfortability. You know, you need a coach who knows how to utilize tight ends for a young quarterback better. I'm not ready to say either way that Lawrence is going to be a bust or he's going to turn it around. He just needs another year with a stable, effective coaching staff and not a completely dysfunctional situation. You know, it's unfortunate for him.
I don't know if it's Bubba Irons got 214 bits. Now, if you're the Jaguars head coach, you're the GM, whoever you are, what do you do with the number one pick? Because that's pretty much probably where you're going to be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
If you're going to obviously build around Trevor Lawrence, what do you do? What position do you do? Do you just pick the best player
available? They need everything. When you're that bad, you got to take the best guy available. So if it's one, if it's the DN from Michigan or Alabama or Oregon or whoever it is, an offensive lineman, you just got to get better at every position. So you take the highest ranked guy that you got at every pick, and it doesn't really, you want to balance it out. You don't want to take three OTs, but if it turns out that your top two guys that you get a shot at are offensive tackles or defensive ends, then you take them.
Huge asshole, $10 cash. I mean, it wouldn't probably hurt them at this point to get, like you said, if their two top ones are OTs, you got a left and right tackle. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence got to be protected. I mean, if he's going to be your star, I mean, can you imagine if he went down? I mean, the Jags probably don't win a game. I mean, he's not putting up the stats, but he's keeping them in the games.
Yeah.
I don't think the coaching
plays. I mean, he's really
not
keeping them in the games.
No, but I'm saying he's not making the mistakes. He's not making the mistakes.
No, he's not throwing a ton of turnovers because
he's got 14 picks, but still, I think it's the play calling too. He's got
But won a game is fine for a rookie quarterback. You'll take that. But yeah, the play calling's been atrocious. The talent around him is non-existent. Players have quit on this team and on the coaching staff very early in the season. And so it's not surprising. I'll wait and see what happens when he gets a new coach, a functional head coach, who should actually be in the NFL and not some freak experiment that the owner decided to conjure up. And then we'll really be able to judge Trevor Lawrence this time next year.
Now, who do you think, just to end the Jaguar talk, because obviously they're the worst team in the league, any coaches pop out to you? Any coordinators come out?
Dabo Sweeney?
So you...
No, I would
How
go.
How Jesus, Brian?
I would go with an established offensive coordinator. Honestly, his name was mentioned in the telecast. I think Byron Leftwich is a very tantalizing pick for Jacksonville, because if you want, that guy who played for you, who has shown a great job, according to everything I've heard, he does a great job as an offensive coordinator for the Bucs. And
yeah, but you don't think BA's grooming him?
I mean,
head coach here?
But if he wants to make his own mark, would you rather take over a team that just won and now you've got to go up against that? Or would you rather take over a team that's literally the worst franchise in football right now and get to rebuild it there? He's a quarterback. He would help, former quarterback would help Lawrence, was a successful quarterback in the league. Obviously Eric Bieniemy's name always comes up. Todd Bowles. But again, I'm going.
I
more
think Todd
with,
Bowles stays here.
I'm going
kid.
More with an offensive minded head coach in Jacksonville. I think it's easier. I think you get more return turning around that offense than you do. You can get a good DC in there and a good GM to rebuild your defense quickly. The offense is what you got to really have focus and time on.
Yeah, I don't see Todd Bowles going anywhere until his kid graduates. Because, Jay Diaco said that Todd Bowles goes to every single game. He won't miss a game. Even though they had the Monday night game, he flew down to Miami and still came back. His kid's his number one thing. So I can't imagine him going to Jacksonville when his kid's on the state championship Jesuit team as a junior, as a stud. You know what I mean? I think Todd Bowles is still here next year.
We got to understand too. The Bucks are going to be in salary cap hell over the next 2 or 3 years, and whoever's the next coach, because Arians is going to dip, they're going to have their hands full because they're going to have a lot of holes to fill, and not a lot of resources to fill it with. So it's not going to be. It's a good spot now, and even next year it's probably a good spot to be. But 2023, 2024. I don't know that's an ideal position to be in. And then by then, Leftwich could have a team like Jacksonville competing with the young talent that they can acquire.
Now, I'm going to throw this one out there, and it's probably pretty dumb. 813-90-BUBBA. There's been a lot of talks, obviously, of Pete Carroll leaving Seahawks if Russell Wilson jumps. What about Pete Carroll going to Jacksonville since they got a young quarterback that he could kind of go? I mean, I know it's that. I mean, no, I don't think anyone said it.
Do you think Carroll wants that much work though at this stage of his career? Like that's
maybe that's just his ego and
maybe. And I don't know Pete Carroll well enough to say either way. That is a lot of work. That's a young guy's job.
But think about this. Think about this. You know, Pete Carroll goes down there and he goes, "Well, look, if I can turn this around, then I will be considered, you know, a really good NFL head of, you know, NFL coach." And if I fail, it's a Jaguars. I can kind of retire, kind of like Bill Parcells when he jumped around. Everyone kind of forgot about, you know, the different teams he jumped around to. And he kind of just says, we'll try it. Because, hey, maybe if I can show Trevor Lawrence, you know, 4 or 5 years, bring his assistants down there or have some different people, and he comes down to Florida, leaves Seattle. Because I don't really see any colleges that he's going to go to, because a lot of people thought he was going to jump back to college. Maybe like the Notre Dame job or different things like that. I mean, do you see any colleges that he may go to?
I don't know, man. I think the jobs that he would want are going to be filled. So, you know, colleges can't just sit around and wait to find coaches because of the recruiting game and everything. So,
I don't think he's going to go back to college because, like you said, that's a young man's game too.
No, that is a young man's game.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah, I think. You know, if he wanted a challenge, Jacksonville would make sense. But, man, if I'm Jacksonville, I don't know that I want a coach who's probably not going to be there for more than 3 years. I would want to have stability for my – if you truly believe that Lawrence is going to be a franchise quarterback, then you've got to get a coach that you're going to get with him and hope to have there for his career.
How about this name then? Is it Doug Henderson, the Eagles ex-head coach who's now the offensive coordinator for the Colts? Isn't that who it is? Did I guess that right?
Doug Peterson?
Peterson, yeah, not Henderson, sorry. Peterson.
You were just thinking about the greatest running back NFL history.
He was a complete joke, according to Bubba's Lost Everything. But yeah, what do you think about him? I mean, he obviously did pretty well with Philly, with Wentz, who obviously had a bunch of injuries, things like that. He's in the Colts. Their offense looks pretty good. What about bringing him in? He's not that old.
No,
I'm just trying to think of recycled quarterbacks.
Wouldn't be a terrible, terrible hire. I mean, it wouldn't be like, oh my God, can you believe that hire like Urban Meyer was? But it's whoever it is, you better hit on. Like this better, you've got to hit the mark with this hire, or you're going to waste another, you know, opportunity, a window to improve. And, you know, they can be competing in 3 years in this league. But you've got to have the coach. I mean, you've got to have the coach. You've got some pieces. You've got some parts there. They've got a couple wide receivers that are decent. They've got two young running backs. They've got a young quarterback. You've got a lot to build around there in Jacksonville. And you've got the advantage of no state income tax. So when you're in that free agency game, there is an advantage there.
And it seems like the owner wants to spend money.
Of course, you know, the players have to be in the Jacksonville area, which is a punishment versus Tampa.
Come on, Duval County.
Oh, God.
Duval.
Jesus.
What is it?
Catches all the shit that falls out of Georgia is what that area does.
Oh, wow, Brian. What, yeah. What do you guys say about
Jacksonville's not a great area.
You want to air that out about Georgia, too? I mean, come on.
I mean, no, I said it's the shit that falls out of Georgia.
Nice. Duval County, we love you. Duval. I don't know their area code, I'm sure. But
904, right?
Oh, 904. 904 in the house, St. John's River. Woo!
Yeah, flows against gravity.
Yeah. Hey! Now,
see, yeah, even Drew Garabo's Eyebrow Awards knows that Jacksonville is a shithole city. It is. It's just, it's not. Would you rather live in Tampa or Jacksonville? That's a very simple question
to
answer.
That's a really easy question.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Well, go, Lummy. We can get you there. We can get you a job up there.
Come on, I can't. I gotta. But let's move on from talking about the shithole city of Jacksonville. Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger, is he back? Is Pittsburgh back?
No.
7-6.
He's doing a good job at the end of the season here.
They make the playoffs.
He knows how to win in this league, so he's better than most. But are you going to bet on Big Ben and Pittsburgh to do much in the playoffs?
I mean, Najee Harris looks like a good running back. I mean, he had 12 carries, 18 yards. You can't go against that, right? Against Titans. They did win.
They won against a team that had no players, no offensive weapons whatsoever.
I don't know how this stat works, but according to ESPN.com, Chase Claypool had zero reception for 12 yards. I don't know how that works.
Huh. Did you see the most amazing stat of all over the weekend?
No, what was that one?
Ben Roethlisberger is undefeated whenever a movie featuring Spider-Man premieres in that week.
Okay, what nerd? What nerd? Hold on. I gotta take a sip on that.
It's a truth.
What nerd looked that sad?
I don't know, but somebody looked it up and posted it online, and it's a fucking amazing, amazing stat that he is undefeated when a movie featuring Spider-Man is in its premiere
weekend.
So is he
3-0?
No, he's like 8-0. There's been a lot of fucking Spider-Man.
Has there been?
Yeah.
I'm not a Spider-Man fan. I don't know if, are you?
No, but I saw that meme, let's see, Spider-Man.
Thank you, Bubba's lost everything. He said it was a fumble recovery, so I guess that went, instead of the rushing, it went toward receiving.
So here's the stat. Let's see here. The Steelers, let's see. Roethlisberger has won his first home game since, Ben Roethlisberger is undefeated in his first home game after a live-action movie featuring Spider-Man is released. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7-0. So if there's a Spider-Man movie in which Spider-Man is starring is going to be released and the Steelers are at home, then you have to bet on Big Ben.
Big Ben should be investing in the Spider-Man or what is that, DC? Is it DC?
No, that's
it's Marvel.
It's Marvel, isn't it? Is Spider-Man DC?
I think Spider-Man's DC, right?
I don't know.
I don't fucking know. I'm not.
I think you're right. It is. I don't
DC?
Know. I'm not a comic
Well, whatever. Guy. Big Ben should be invested in freaking DC then. Oh, it's Marvel? I guess it's Marvel.
Okay,
then he should be invested in Marvel and making, Spider-Man movies, you know, a ton of them, or just even doing like little short movies on it. Jeez, that I can't. Where did you see that stat, though?
Main Team Sports posted that. I guess it's true.
That's a stat that I feel like you would post.
He posted, you know, what's amazing is he posted it, you know, it's true. I mean, it's, they've got the numbers and the stats here to back it up.
Can you imagine he goes to your editor?
Yeah, you know, I think I have something here. Every Spider-Man movie has come out that Big Ben, like, how do you even like figure that? Like,
who's sitting around doing that?
Exactly.
That research, that
exactly.
level of research, you
like,
know?
What, let's look up the dates that Big Ben has won at home, and then let's look up whatever's come out at that time.
Yeah.
Insane. Yeah. 843. This guy looks
Hey, what's
probably.
Up, Lummy? It's Jamie.
Hey, how's it going?
Jamie Dunning out of Charleston.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Hey, can y'all hear me good? I'm having to talk to you on the Bluetooth because I'm working.
Yeah.
All right. Have y'all talked about, I just kind of joined the feed. Have y'all talked about the college football playoff already?
Not yet.
No.
We were getting, we're saving the best for last.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So well, start us off. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, what are you thinking?
I think Harbaugh's got Michigan ready to play.
Oh,
I'll believe it when I see them
like
beat somebody outside
like
the Big Ten.
Georgia.
Yeah, it's a Big Ten, and guess what? Brian and I think of the Big Ten. It's one thing we actually agree on.
You see what Georgia did when they came up against stiff competition, and that Michigan front.
What stiff competition are you talking about? Alabama,
so,
the SEC.
So which Michigan out of conference victory gives you the most confidence in them being able to win this all? Was it the Western Michigan win or the Washington win,
or
the Northern Illinois win?
Brian, you have to understand about Michigan fans and Big Ten fans. What they're going to say is that.
I'm not a Big Ten fan. I'm a Clemson fan. I grew up in Clemson, so I'm a huge Clemson fan. I just feel like Michigan Harbaugh's going to have them dialed in enough to beat the Bulldogs.
Well, unfortunately, the Big Ten people, obviously, you're not your ACC. Which, sorry about that. I mean, weird.
Harbaugh
ACC
will probably
too.
Go for two at the end and blow it just like his brother.
Well, but Brian, you know what they say of Michigan? Well, we beat Penn State. Oh, okay. Well, Penn State beat Auburn. And Auburn played four overtimes to Alabama, so that means that Michigan's
way
better.
The old transitive property.
Yeah.
You got to think about that Kirby Smart choke factor guy. Kirby always Kirby's out.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, it's going to be a good matchup. I think Michigan is better than most Big Ten teams going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I just don't see how they score consistently against Georgia's offense.
No.
Yeah, the kid with the long blonde hair and the African, the dude with the African last name on the Michigan defensive line. Those dudes are nasty. If they put that pressure on Bennett, Bennett does not do good under duress.
Well, hold on. You have to understand, too, and I, listen, every obviously the Big Ten's getting a little bit better and faster, and I know the SEC's down, and they're not the same as they have been. But, yes.
SEC's not down by any means.
Yeah, well, they're down to their standards of scoring on offense and things like that. I'm sorry, on defense, too. Their scoring's up. Defense is down. But the way that Jim Harbaugh is recruiting, he's recruiting like he's like in the SEC. So, yes, they do have some quick defensive ends, but I don't think he's getting the top-tier guys that an Alabama or Georgia is getting. And they're facing Big Ten linemen. They're still – well, they see – the Big Ten are still recruiting the same linemen up in the north, the Ohio's, the Michigan's, you know, those big guys that are kind of slow. So when you're getting...
That's true in recruiting.
And Lummy knows about big guys that are kind of slow.
Yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
Me all day guys, long.
Those two guys on the defensive line are probably both top 10 draft picks.
Yeah.
I just can't call their names right now. And, you know, just notice how Bennett always has trouble against a real good pass rush. Like when they played Clemson, you know, the offense didn't even score in that game, and the pass rush was pretty strong.
That's a weak one. That's a weak one asterisk. I mean, I don't read too much into the first week of games.
No, you can't. That's almost like a preseason game for the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, week one, teams totally change. I don't know. Just an observation. What do you think about Cincinnati, Alabama? Does Cincinnati score?
I think Cincinnati will score. I think they lose something like 38-14.
No, come on. It's going to be closer than that.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 38-28.
I don't know, man. I want it to be. I'm pulling for Cincy. I think everybody out of the state of Alabama is pulling for Cincy in that one.
Yeah.
You know, Cincy scares me because they've let really mediocre and bad teams hang around with them this season. They haven't shown a killer instinct. And maybe they'll be up for this game. You know, they played well against Georgia in the bowl game last year and should have won that game, but they blew it at the end.
But I think the mentality of Alabama is going to come off like you are, where they're like, yeah, Cincinnati, you know what? We're better than them. They're just
no, I think
ACC
Alabama. Team. Alabama's game, that game against Auburn was the wake-up call that they needed at the end of the year there.
That was the only game they sleepwalked through?
Yeah, they absolutely sleptwalked through the first three quarters of that game, and I think that was their wake-up call. I don't think anybody stops Bama at this point.
I think it's going to be Alabama, Georgia.
If Cincinnati can come out and strike first, or at least take that first punch from Bama and not fold,
no, it's not going to be
stand a chance.
No, I think you're right. I think if Bama gets the ball first, drives down, scores, and stops Cincy, that the game's over.
Yeah.
I think Cincy has to keep it tied through the first quarter to have a chance in that game.
It's not going to be a Boise State Oklahoma game, though. You know, let's just throw back to that game. I think Alabama comes out. Cincinnati may score first. Alabama scores next. Next thing you know, Alabama goes, okay, let's just put it on them. And I think it's going to be 38-24.
So you think a Bama, Georgia, Natty?
Yeah, that's my opinion. Alabama, Georgia.
I think the odds are with that. Michigan can win. They're not a terrible team.
I wasn't arguing for Michigan or the Big Ten by any means. I was just, I kind of think this might be the year that they actually get to the national championship.
I just would have preferred to see them beat somebody with a pulse out of conference, so you get a better idea and feel. You know, it's easy to beat your conference mates in the sense that you know them well, especially Harbaugh being in there as long as he's been in that league, and it doesn't give you a good I know he finally got that demon off of his back, but it never gives you a good feel. You know, I don't know how good Cincy's win at Notre Dame was. We don't know how good Notre Dame is. I mean, who knows? They had one. What, Wisconsin was a decent win for them. It's tough with these college kids too. You just don't know how big and bright are those lights going to be. How distracted are they going to be? You know, I think what Bama has going for them is they've got a coaching staff that has been there and done that pretty much every single year.
Every year.
And that is such a baked-in advantage for them now over even Harbaugh. I mean, I think that's an issue for him, too, is he hasn't been there and he hasn't done it.
And neither has coaches.
And And so, you know, you look at a team where those intangibles of coaching come in, and it's got to be, you know, with Bama.
Yeah, the newness isn't there. And I heard y'all talking about the Jaguars thing. Like I said, I'm a longtime Clemson fan. Love to see Trevor succeed. And I almost wonder if they can lure Dabo up there.
Well, we threw him out there as a candidate. I think it would be a mistake.
Okay, I came in at the end of that.
Yeah, that would be a mistake. You need a quarterback friendly coach who has NFL experience at this point, and you can't take a chance. You've got one more season to get Trevor moving in the right direction before his confidence starts getting shot.
Will help. Like, Travis Etienne is definitely his safety valve. He always was at Clemson. Anytime things went wrong, he could dump it off to Etienne or know where Etienne's going to be. And they have that continuity with one another. So that'll definitely help the offense.
You could say ETN was his ATM. You could always go to him and know he's going to get some money out of it. Well, it's good talking to you, man.
Thanks,
you take
Jamie
care.
Dunning.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, y'all fellas have a good one.
You too.
So
Merry
I've
Christmas.
Got a, I've got another interesting stat here.
Bubba ain't proud, 1,000 bits.
You ready for this one, Lummy?
Oh, I'm waiting for it.
So in the home game following a video released by one of your girlfriends in which you got pegged, your teams were undefeated. 27-0. It's pretty good. Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Oh, man, I wish I could find something here to... Ryan, that was just... What do we got here? Let's just see.
27-0 when videos
okay,
of you getting paid.
Thank you, Bubba Ari Proud with 1,000 bits. Hey, so, wow. What do you, Michigan State, so I just wanted to go on the Michigan
you're pretty,
talk.
You're pretty flummoxed, Lummox.
Yeah, okay, listen.
you're all kerfluffled.
I know in your head you think it's, but that's what it is. So,
that's fine. What does it feel like in your ass? I know what it sounds like in my head.
This is what it sounds like in my ass then. So, Michigan State beat Michigan, right? What was Michigan State known for? Because obviously we were just talking about Michigan. I kind of was thinking, what was Michigan State strong? Like, you know, what were they strong at?
Running
the ball.
Yeah. Running.
And their defense was, usually Michigan State's pretty known for their defense.
Well, they've got a new head coach, and he went to the transfer portal and completely changed the complexion of that team.
Yeah, that running back from was it Wake Forest?
I mean, it's great. What he built there was incredible. Now,
he's got
Michigan
a contract
State,
too.
Michigan State, they were not exactly world killers this year.
No, they weren't, and they lost. You know, but I'm saying they ran the ball pretty heavy. Georgia, I mean, do you think that they're, instead of throwing, you think they're just going to concentrate on running the ball?
I think they will have a game plan that allows their defense to win them the game. And so it may not be a blowout, but I think that Georgia has the defensive prowess to go out there and stop anything that Michigan wants to do.
Because, I mean,
on a regular basis.
Because if you look at Michigan State that game, they had Walker had 197 yards and 5 TDs.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And I think Georgia has the horses to replicate Michigan State's performance against Michigan.
So you think pretty much they just stick ground and pound and say, all right, look, if they can stop our run, then we'll let our defense step up.
Yeah, I don't think Georgia will pass much or take many chances in the passing game unless they have to. If the score is dictating, if Georgia can get out to like a 10-3, 14-3 lead, they will be leaning on their backs completely. Trying to shorten the game and make it a more of a defensive. They don't want to get into a track meet. Bama showed that.
They get in their track meet, they're done.
Yeah, they don't want to get into a track meet, and that's why the over under on that game is only 45. Vegas seems to think that Georgia is going to dictate the tempo and the scoring in that game.
Is it that, or do you think that they think Michigan actually has a decent defense?
No, I think they feel that because Georgia is also favored to win that game, that they think that Georgia is going to do a better job of containing them. I mean, Michigan's defense gave up 29 to Nebraska, 33 to Michigan State, even 27 to Ohio State. It's not like they were shutting these teams out. Now, they did very impressive against a very mediocre Iowa team in the Big Ten championship game, but... It's, they've got a good defense. They've got a good defense, but they have had those moments. The first moment we saw from Georgia was against Bama, right? It's the first time in the entire season that they looked vulnerable at all from a defensive perspective. I mean, they were giving up what, like 8 points a game?
Yeah.
That's a defense.
That is a defense.
That's a defense.
But, in a real conference, too.
Right. So you've got a 45-point spread, and Georgia's favored by, what, 6 in that game?
Yeah, right now they are.
So you know, you're doing that. They're going to win something in the range of 25 to 19, that sort of scoring range.
Oh, if you're going off Vegas.
If you're going off of the line and the over-under of what because what does Vegas try to do? And granted, it's perception, but they try to be as close to the middle as they can.
Yeah, I can see, because I can see maybe Michigan and your boy Harbaugh trying to go for 2 a couple times. Yeah, I could see that. I could see those that kind of odd scoring. Have you watched any of the bowl games?
No, not a single minute of a single bowl game.
I watched Coastal Carolina. I'm wearing their shirt. Thank you, Wayne, for that one. Bubba Chants.
But, the Chanticleers?
Yeah. Up shots, but like today's games. I mean, Kent State versus Wyoming.
Those golden flashes, man. Yeah, watch out. That's going to be a sneaky good game at Albertsons Stadium in Boise, Idaho.
Albertsons, yeah.
Be 38 degrees at kickoff there. It'll be lovely.
Next one, UT University of Texas, San Antonio,
honestly,
San Diego State. That's
probably going to be the best bowl game of the entire bowl season. I say that, but. The way UTSA went out and laid an egg in their last game, I don't know. I think San Diego State probably wins that game, but it has the makings of every year in bowl season, you get that one game that's kind of, you know, not the marquee matchup that ends up being a really good bowl game. I think that one might be it.
It's in Texas, too, so I'm surprised it's only 49 points, too, on the over and under.
Well, that would suggest a belief that San Diego State's going to play a little bit better and win that game. I look for, when I'm looking at games like that, I'm like, okay, what's the over under? Who's got the defense then, right? That's pretty low for a college game.
Especially a bowl game with some offenses, a little bit of offenses.
Yeah, no, UTSA's put up some points this year, and San Diego State's got the defense, though. You know, they've won a lot of low-scoring games.
Talking about betting, though, have you heard anything new on Seminole Hard Rock?
Well, the court order shut them down.
I know, but is there any, like, are they pushing for it to be back open?
Well, they're waiting for the cases to work their way through the court system. I mean, that's the bottom line. They've got to see what the federal courts are going to rule on. It was a, look, when I heard the scheme that they conjured up to try and get this to work, it was pushing it, because to say that you're on tribal land through a server when you make a bet, because that's what they have to essentially say. So they're saying you sitting there right now making a bet from your cell phone on a server that's located on tribal land, is akin to you being at the facility making that bet.
But well, see, what's so annoying is that, so you've watched, you know, football and you see the commercials. I understand Vegas. Like why? Like, it doesn't make any sense. You see the 2 casino betting one, MGM, I think it was, or whatever one.
Caesars and MGM, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can be sitting here and betting in Vegas. Why is it
because
a big deal for Florida?
The state as a whole has made that legal. That's why.
I know, but let me ask you a minute. Why would people vote it down? Why would people, like,
because people are stupid, and when
they
didn't know what they were voting for when they did the gambling thing 2 or 3 years ago. People are idiots. They don't do their research, and they didn't know what they were voting for with the, you know, having to have it on the ballot in order, you know. Now, I mean, it has to essentially takes a constitutional amendment, a referendum, to get gambling legalized in Florida.
So you're behind that.
No, I think it's idiotic. I think the whole, you know, the tribes having a monopoly on gambling in Florida is fucking stupid.
No, I'm talking about the legalizing gambling
yes.
in Florida.
Okay, yes. Well, let adults be adults.
Yes, exactly. Okay, good. I'm glad that you agree. I don't like that, you know, you see these people in the print commercials out there like, oh, let's not let gambling happen in Florida because you get the prostitutes again, like when they were trying to shut down all the other casinos. But it's like, we're sending our money to fucking Vegas. They're putting commercials up. We're just getting the people that have been here the whole time. Listen, if you think, oh, well, you know, the dad that has to feed his baby is going to put the $10 bet
he's gonna
in.
He's going to do it at fucking the MGM.
He's going to see it at the commercial and he's going to go, oh, I can sign up and get $100 free?
Money right now is going offshores. You know, they're doing it to offshore casinos at this point and using their IP, you know, scrambling their VPN or whatever
MGM?
It is. For these guys that are, people are still gambling through sports books in Florida.
Yeah,
it's Bavada. Just none of the money is coming into the state.
That's exactly.
So it's stupid. Everybody's fucking stupid. One of the biggest reasons why gambling's not legal here is Disney. It's one of the reasons why Orange County has no gambling institutions at all. You can't find a poker room, can't find nothing there. Because Disney has all the swag there.
Can't you do county by county almost? Or no? If the state says you can, if the state came out and approved that, you know, whatever county wants to do it.
No, they could do it that way. I mean, the first county to have it is going to be Miami Dade.
Casinos. But the one in Tampa is the biggest casino gambling space in the country.
Yeah, it's a fucking waste of space.
Yeah, I know. It's so laid out poorly.
It's that and it's the fucking tightest room you'll ever go into from a slot standpoint. The limits on the table games are fucking ridiculous because they have a monopoly. If there was a casino on the other side of the fairgrounds that they had to compete with, well, all of a sudden shit changes at the Hard Rock. You're getting free drinks. You're going to get $10 limits on table games because they have to have them in order to fill up those, you know, and compete with each other. You're going to get better perks. You're going to get better rewards. You're going to get better hotel deals. Everything is better with competition. What we see at the Hard Rock is, I mean, anyone could run a successful casino with the situation that they find themselves in.
So
anybody.
You would approve if DeSantis came out and said, look, gambling is legalized and I'm going to leave it up to the county commissioners and blah, blah, blah to say if they want to build a casino there.
He doesn't have the power to do that, though.
So who does?
The people of the state of Florida now because of the constitutional amendment that was passed because people are fucking idiots and didn't know what they were voting on. It's dumb. They trick dumb people. That's what lobbyists and special interest groups do. They trick dumb people. Just like the whole, they had a bill two elections ago in Florida or a constitutional amendment that was to quote unquote protect Florida solar, but it did the exact opposite. It killed and crippled Florida solar. And so it was, who was supporting it? It was all the fossil fuel industry and all the electric companies were behind that because they don't want to compete. Nobody wants competition in their business.
Yeah, no shit. But it's still, oh man, that shit kind of frustrates me where, like, I'm spending now my money sending it offshores to Bavada just to be able to, like, put a $10 bet in or $50 bet.
Or maybe just enjoy your kid and watch sports for fun.
You gamble
and not
too,
gamble
motherfucker.
But I'm not looking to put my money offshore right now because I'm jonesing for that sports bet. I need to get some hot action on Kent State's game against Montana.
I'm not putting new money in. My money was already in there. And there's no point to pull out 50 bucks or 60 bucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was literally just sitting there for a year. So I might as well just use it. And I was all real happy with some freaking Hard Rock one. At least Florida was having it.
Yeah, no, it was nice while it lasted. I'm glad I got my $100 free bet out of them.
Yeah, me too.
I cashed out up like $200 and yeah, I'm done with them now. Oh, you were losing money with them?
No, I lost that $100 one.
Well, then you got it back.
Oh, I got it
on
back.
Another bet.
Yeah, I got it back.
And you lost that bet too?
No, I cashed out of there like $125.
Oh, so we pretty much bankrupted that casino. All right, let's get our football picks now. Let's do it fast and furious.
Well,
you ready?
I mean, we don't have the two tonight. Do you want to do the two tonight?
No, that was a part of last week's.
All right. So we were suspended. So
no,
I was
you were suspended.
San Francisco, Tennessee.
San Fran. Garoppolo's playing good ball right now.
I'm taking at Tennessee. Cleveland, Green Bay.
Green Bay is going to win that.
Yeah, Green Bay. Indianapolis, Arizona.
Indy. Arizona, the wheels are falling off. They've been exposed.
Arizona. Detroit, Atlanta.
Man, this is a tough one.
That's a shit show.
That is a shit show. Give me Detroit.
Nah, I'm taking Detroit. Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Cincy.
Rams, Minnesota.
Man, another tricky one, right?
Yeah.
Thielen's going to be back. Kirk Minnesota Cousins can... managed games. Give me the
I'm
Rams.
I'm taking Minnesota. Buffalo, New England.
Give me the Pats again.
I think Josh Allen keeps going. Jacksonville. Wow, Jesus, another shit game.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Jets.
This is the game Jacksonville comes together.
Fuck, I want to say that. But Jets, Giants, Philly.
Philly.
Mike Glennon sucks dick. Tampa Bay, Carolina.
The Bucks bounce back.
Chargers, Houston.
Chargers.
I almost thought about Houston for a second. Chicago, Seattle. I'm going Seattle.
Yeah, at Seattle, I'll go with Seattle.
I think Nagy gets fired after that game. Pittsburgh, Kansas City.
KC. They got it going. They figured it out the last 2 weeks.
Unless Kelsey's out.
That's true. If Kelsey can't play. But see, this is what's doing these picks on a Tuesday makes it tough.
Oh, we got Christmas. Denver, Vegas.
Let's go with the Raiders. Bridgewater's out next
week. I know,
with
Bridgewater's out, I'm going Vegas. I don't want to say it, but I'm going Vegas, too.
Woo! I think that might be the first time this season that you picked him.
Yeah, because Bridgewater got his ass handed to him. His head's fucking popped out of his brain popped out of his skull. Washington, Dallas.
Upset, Washington. It's going to happen.
Oh, man. I'm going Dallas. Miami, New Orleans.
Oh, man, this is a tough one.
I'm going Miami.
I'm going to go New Orleans just to be different.
Miami 7-7 and two throws for 127
I'm going to say
yards.
New Orleans wins that one 21-16.
Miami wins 17-10. Tua gets about 196 yards and one touchdown.
All right, we'll see.
17-10, Miami wins.
All right, man.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, it was fun.
Hey, you know what? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and yours. Enjoy your first Christmas as a father, although it's boring when it's a baby. It's more fun when they get older.
Oh, we'll have fun, though.
I mean, you'll have fun in air quotes.
Yeah.
You'll have a lot of fun when he's two and tearing shit up. And, three and four and going nuts.
Exactly. And thank you, Bubba Army, everyone that tuned in today. Merry Christmas to you all. We are having a show tonight, 6 to 8, right here, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy, our last show.
As long as Lummy doesn't get in trouble, we should do one next week, too, right?
We should be, yeah, exactly.
And that'll be a big one, man. That'll be the lead up to the college football playoff.
Yep.
And we'll have
COVID doesn't take down the whole NFL in that time.
Yeah.
It shut down hockey for a week.
Hockey's shut down. Yeah. I'm supposed to have box tickets to the Lightning game on Tuesday night, and I don't know. It's not looking good at this point because it's the Canadiens.
Yeah. Looks like you're moved to probably April.
Yeah. I'll have fun then in April.
Thank you, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Have a happy and safe Christmas. If you get hit, give me a call.
What's your number?
What's my number? 813-287-2227 or 844-ASK-GINA. That's spelled Gina, G-I-N-A.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Brian. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you tonight. Bye.